friends. I'm so glad you're here at our castle. I'm Ruthie. I'm one of the lieutenants here. And I bet you're really tired after your trip. So why don't you come down to the Great Hall and join us as Captain Mike is about ready to tell us some of the stories of the prince's heroes. Now, I've got to check with Scout Amy to see if everybody's ready. Scout Amy, is everyone here and accounted for?
Yes, ma'am. Ready and counted.
Excellent. Captain Mike, everyone is here and ready to listen to your story. Shall we go to the hall?
Okay, I have the keys to the Grand Hall, so let's go in.
At ease, soldiers. Excuse me while I take off my helmet and my sword. On 1324, John Wycliffe was born in Yorkshire, England, in the parish of Wycliffe.
Pardon me, Captain Mike. This is Scout Amy with a question. Did I hear you correctly? He was Wycliffe from Wycliffe, or was it Wycliffe from Wycliffe?
Nothing can be found about his childhood. And to make things worse, some spelled his name with an I and some with a Y, which made it hard to track his early life. So was he Wycliffe or was he Wycliffe? So many believe that he was Wycliffe from the city of Wycliffe. But we do know at the age of 16 he left home and went to Oxford to study. It was here that he was taught canon law, which is Catholic law, and science, and was excelling in all his studies, until he had a professor of mathematics and astronomy. His name was Bradwin, which he was more a student of the Word of God than of anything else, and he encouraged his students to learn the ancient Greek and Hebrew of the Bible. He also warned his students against Pelagianism.
What?
Pelagianism, which was a Catholic teaching of self-control without God, and also the worship of externals, then the religion of the heart. It was here that the mind of Wycliffe was directed. With his bright mind, he worked his way to be the master of Balliol College, and then in 1365, he was the head of Canterbury Hall. He impressed the teachers and even the popes. Around the time of 1630, after Wycliffe was studying the Bible, he started to see the corruption of many friars. These friars were demanding money from the poor class so they could live like kings and be lazy. This licentious lifestyle of the friars was ripping England into pieces. These infractions led to the peasant wars, where thousands of poor people were killed for rising up against this new teaching. Wycliffe opposed both sides of the issue and pointed the people to the Bible and to Jesus and to live their lives according to his word. He wrote many tracts opposing the teachings of the church, like, for example, the Pope does not have power over the church and the state. Number two, the friars need to help the poor and give to them and teach them the word of God, which they were totally ignorant of. Many of the priests of the time entered into their vocation without ever cracking open the Bible and teaching wise tales to scare the people into submission to their laws. Number three, not to worship images or adoration of angels or popes, which is idolatry. And four, the doctrine of transubstantiation, which was the core of Catholic belief. Can you say transubstantiation?
Transubstantiation.
This was the teaching that the bread and the wine in the Eucharist literally turned into the blood and the flesh of Jesus. It was supposed to be a symbol, not an actual thing. The priests believed by pronouncing al salvo upon themselves, they became God, and that they could create Christ to crucify him over and over again, when the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Christ died once. The priest then would pronounce Hercus Corpus Eum and literally believe that he could create Christ's body. This is where we get the expression hocus pocus, which is really satanic witchcraft. Now, Wycliffe's greatest work was translating the Bible from the ancient tongue into the English vernacular. By giving the Bible to the common people, Wycliffe did more for England than anyone else could ever do. After many hard years of writing tracts and translating the Bible, Wycliffe had a stroke, and it looked like he was going to die. So the friars came over to see if he would recant from his teaching and go back to the Catholic Church under pressure when he was weak. But Wycliffe said to them, after pulling himself up in his bed, "I shall not die, but live," and again declare the evil deeds of the friars. With astonishment, the friars fled from the place. After a short time, three bulls were issued to Wycliffe, and I'm not talking about cows, I'm talking about bulls, which were letters of warning from the Pope. But Wycliffe stood his ground and defended the truth, but finally he was summoned to appear before the Parliament for his teachings, which would lead him to die at the stake. But he was so weak that he could not travel, so he answered the Pope in letters, with high respect and the kindness of Jesus. But finally, in December 28, 1384, he had a stroke when he was giving communion in his church in Leicestershire, and on that day he went to the grave. History tells us that 40 years later, the papal church was so mad at the effect that he had on England, they dug up his bones and burned them in the fire, like if that was going to do anything. Then they took his ashes and put it into a little brook called the Swift, and from the Swift, it went into the River of Avon, and from Avon to Severn, and from Severn into the sea. As his ashes went, so his teachings went all around the world, which would lead many to stand for reforms in the ages to come, and which would start the great Protestant Reformation. Wycliffe is known for being the morning star, the one that brought the beginning of light into darkness in Europe. So soldiers, you must fight and stand for truth, whatever the cost. May you go forward in the power of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.
That was a great story, Captain Mike. But lo, hark! I hear some noise in the distance. It sounds like a battle. Hey, here comes Soldier Michael. Quick, let him in. What's going on?
Captain Mike! Lieutenant Ruthie! The castle is being attacked! Come quickly!
Oh no, quickly everybody! Grab your armor and your sword and let's go!